While Australia is still a couple of weeks away from its COVID-19 vaccine rollout, understandably other nations that have been hit much harder by the pandemic are vaccinating as fast as they can. Case in point is Israel. With a population less than half of Australia's, it's had over 660,000 cases of COVID-19. And at the moment, it's a vaccination leader. As at the 2nd of February, Israel had a vaccination rate of over 50 people per 100. That's more than double the rate of any other country. Israel started vaccinating people over 60 in December last year, and about 70% of that cohort have now had their second dose of the two-dose Pfizer vaccine. And there's now early but credible evidence that the rollout of the coronavirus vaccine is having an impact on the number of cases and hospitalizations. Data released by the Israeli Ministry of Health last week says that less than 1% of fully vaccinated people have become infected with coronavirus, and of those, only a tiny proportion required hospitalization. To discuss the vaccine rollout in Israel, I'm joined now by Professor Cyril Cohen, the Professor of Immunology and Immunotherapy at Bar-Ilan University, and he's also a member of the Coronavirus Vaccine Trials Advisory Committee for the Ministry of Health. Thanks very much for joining me, Professor Cohen.
Thank you, Julian, for having me.
It's a great pleasure, and it does seem that the early statistics are quite encouraging in terms of the rollout in Israel. Could you just start by giving us a sense of the scale of the vaccine rollout and what your assessment of the early figures are?
Basically, right now, I would say that around 40% of the Israeli population already got one dose, and more than 20% has gotten the two doses, which are great results, I have to tell you. What we are seeing right now is that, as you just said, the vaccination has started to influence the severe cases in Israel. We are seeing a drop in the first population that was vaccinated, which is a 60-year-old plus. And we're seeing a drop in hospitalization and also in severe cases. We have also evidences that in certain cities in Israel where the vaccination for this group is around 100%, we have seen a drop in hospitalization of around 40% and a drop in infections of 50%, which are great results.
Those figures do sound very encouraging. How do they compare to what your expectations were or the projections were going into this intensive period of vaccination?
We are very encouraged by those figures, but I have to say that, on the other hand, we are seeing a rise in infections in general in Israel, especially in the younger population, and this is mainly due to the British variant, which is responsible today for around 80% of the new infections in Israel. We are very concerned about it because it's spreading very fast. We had to open intensive care units for children, which we didn't have, you know, so far in Israel, because of this variant. You know, pregnant women, et cetera, are also hospitalized, some of them. So we are really seeing a weird situation in which, on the one hand, we have a phenomenon of injections, but on the other hand, we have also the infection rate that is going up. So it's injection, infection, because of this variant. But the good news are that based on, you know, studies also in Israel, but abroad, it seems that people that are vaccinated seem to be protected by their antibodies against the British variant.
That is a relief. Professor Cohen, you know, as they say, it's not a vaccine that brings the solutions, it's vaccinations, and Israel's got a very impressively high rate of vaccination. What elements in the health infrastructure and other factors would you say explain why Israel's rate of vaccination is so much higher than other nations?
Yeah, so the first thing was procurement of the vaccination doses, and we started to look into that, you know, negotiations already in June with several companies. And the second thing was logistics. We are very efficient. We say it's a military logistics with the vaccines, you know, when they get to Israel, then they are dispatched. I think the most important thing right now is quite quickly, you know, everything was laid out so that you can, from your cell phone, okay, just book your jab appointment, and usually took less than 2 minutes, and they get back to you with your second appointment so that you don't miss your second dose, you know, at 3 weeks apart. And we created more than 400 vaccination sites in our country. We are a small country, we have to say that. And really, within a few days, we were able to reach a rate in which we immunize around 2% of the population every day. One of the most efficient vaccination campaign I ever seen. The public is also very motivated to participate in that vaccination campaign, so that, you know, it's a success, I can say that.
One of the issues all over the world is concerns with rising levels of vaccine hesitancy. And in Israel, I suppose there's the particular issue as well of dealing with vaccines in the ultra-Orthodox community. What's the government's or other organisations' communication strategy been? And has that been an effective part of the process?
Yes, definitely. And this is very important because vaccination has been lagging behind certain minorities like the ultra-Orthodox population or the Arab population. But slowly but surely, lately, the vaccination pace is getting much better. If we're talking about, you know, 60-year-old plus vaccinated in general in Israel, the percentage now nearing the 90%. In those population, it was slow, but right now it's bridging the gap. So basically, there was a lot of communication, information, you know, in those milieu, in the ultra-Orthodox milieu, rabbis were approached and they're actually helping out with the effort. Also with the Arab communities, we have direct connections with the leaders that are talking to their people. And slowly but surely, we are seeing the effect of this good communication and seeing the vaccination percentages going up.
Another community obviously equally in need of vaccines is the Palestinian population. Who's actually responsible for providing vaccines in the areas that are run by the Palestinian Authority? And what do you think as a healthcare professional would be the best system to have?
The Palestinian Authority is self-sufficient under the Oslo Agreement. We have been in close contact with them. You know, we have offered our help in December, but they declined it. We have been helping Palestinians over the years and treating, you know, 150,000 Palestinians every year in hospitals in Israel. Even now, okay, some of the leaders of the Palestinian Authority were treated for COVID-19, for example, in Israel. They have already secured millions of doses with Russia of the Sputnik vaccine. They're supposed to get, you know, the priority in Israel, of course, is to the citizens, and we immunize all of our citizens, you know, be they Christian, Muslims, or Jewish.
Excellent. Well, Professor Cohen, thank you very much for joining us with that rare piece of optimistic updates on the state of the coronavirus pandemic. So thank you very much for speaking with us on Sunday.
My pleasure. Thank you.
That was Professor Cyril Cohen, a professor of immunology and immunotherapy at Bar Ilan University in Israel. And he is also a member of the Coronavirus Vaccine Trials Advisory Committee of the Israeli Health Ministry.